Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. Shop local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3, putting a spotlight on homegrown Mississippi-based businesses, made in Mississippi products, and their impact on your community and the Magnolia State. Now, your hosts, Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner.
Thanks for joining us. We know that the show is gaining traction because we hear from you. Melissa's going to fill us in on exactly how you can get in on the act a little bit later on in the show, but I would be remiss if I didn't welcome you back from vacation. Had a good time?
Hello. Disney was Disney, and we need a vacation from our vacation.
When was the last time you paid $15 for a hot dog?
Oh, my goodness. I don't remember. $5 for water.
It better be good for the prices that you're paying. We've got a lot to talk about today. On the program, to start with, is Kent McCarty joins us. Kent is a native of Hattiesburg, is an Oak Grove High School graduate, and at the age of 19 years old, he started the Java Mo's Coffee Shop. So we're going to talk about the different locations around the area and continuing to expand in this ever-growing world of coffee. It used to be that the only place you could get a good cup of coffee was at Meemaw's, your own grandmother's house, maybe, on a Saturday or Sunday morning. But now it seems like there's a coffee shop on every corner. But Kent McCarty was really on the cutting edge of the coffee movement, if you will, in the Hattiesburg area. And as we welcome you, Kent, he also happens to be a state representative, District 101. So he's in politics, he's a business owner. But at 19, Kent, I want to know, most people don't even know where they're going to go to college at age 19, but you're starting a business. Tell us how in the world that happened.
Yeah, it kind of just came together. I mean, I was working at Seattle Drip. I don't know if a lot of you may remember that. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, going way back. But I was working at Seattle Drip, and I'd been there for a little bit and just really loved coffee. I've always loved to drink coffee. It's always been a big part of, you know, my family. We all love coffee. And I loved working in coffee as well. And whenever that business closed, there was an opportunity for me to get involved in opening another one and opening my own version of that in the same building. I was familiar with the space. All the equipment was still there. So it just kind of happened. You know, people ask me that question, and I think they expect some kind of like profound origin story. But looking back on it, it's kind of one of those things where I was just like, yeah, why not? You know? And I never really intended for it to be like a forever, you know, thing for me. I mean, I was in school at that time. I was planning to go to medical school, which is a crazy thought to even say out loud now. But I just kind of thought I'll do this while I'm in college, and then maybe I'll sell it or sell my part of it to somebody and then move on. But I just ended up liking it so much and it went so well that I'd never left.
Yeah, but you were 19, and most 19-year-olds don't know their rear end from a hole in the ground. So how do you
Well, I'm not sure that I did either, to be quite honest. I think I had a lot of good people around me. And just the nature of coming from a coffee shop that had already been open, a lot of the staff was looking for jobs whenever we closed at Seattle Drip. So a lot of them came over, and it was a lot of trial and error. I mean, I was talking to somebody about this just last week, you know, about how it was. I was talking to one of our employees that we had, you know, at the very beginning, and, you know, we kind of just made it work. I mean, I'm not sure that would really work, you know, now if I were to do this again. You know, if I were 19 in 2025 trying to do that, I'm not sure that I could have done it. But at that time, you know, had a lot of good people, and just we just kind of made it work. I wouldn't say that it was super organized. I'm not sure that we set records for productivity at that time, but we did our best and we made it work. So
I think it's just amazing, Melissa, that at 19 years old, you'd have the wherewithal and the drive to say, I'm going to go to college and do all this other stuff, but I'm going to run a business as well.
I saw Kent walking up through the window, and Kelly said, oh, here he comes. And I said, where? Because there's this kid walking in. I said, oh, he's young. My goodness. So Kent, Seattle Drip, was that in Hattiesburg?
Yeah, it was. Okay. It was actually in the same buildings. The two drive-thrus we have in town, so the one in Oak Grove as our first location, and the one in Westwood Square in Hattiesburg. Those were originally both Seattle Drip.
So are all of your locations now in Mississippi? And tell us where those are.
So I've got the two drive-thrus that I just mentioned. Those are the original two drive-thrus. And then we've also got a location in Forest General in the cafeteria there. We've got a location in Merit Health in the, you know, lobby area, sort of. And then we've got one in Poplarville that's open now. That's been open for a few years. And we're also right now in the process of opening new locations in Purvis, I mean, the Ramey's in Purvis, and then in Columbia as well, in the new shopping center that's there on Highway 98 headed towards Hattiesburg.
So, so in Forest General, and then you said Wesley as well, do you see more patients, visitors, or more staff?
It's a good mix. You know, Wesley is a lot of, it's a lot of staff and a lot of, you know, a lot of patients as well. But Forest General, because it's in the cafeteria there, we actually see people, you know, that don't even work at Forest General and aren't patients or staff or anything. They're just coming in to get coffee. And there's a Chick-fil-A in there now too. So there's Subway, Chick-fil-A, you got the hospital food court. So it's really kind of a happening spot. You know, sometimes I go in there and I see people just spread out with their Chick-fil-A and their, you know, Java Mo's or whatever, and they're working on schoolwork or whatever. So I guess it's possible they might be a patient or a family of a patient, but I see people all the time that say, oh yeah, I park and run in Forest General and grab a coffee, and which is great. I mean, that's our only location that on that end of town. So it's, you know,
I can't get away from the 19-year-old thing. Here's another thing, Kent, that I want to bring up.
Okay. And he still looks 19.
Well, he does.
Thank you.
He does.
I disagree, but thank you.
But it's one thing to want to open a business, but it's another thing. You got to have working capital. Mm-hmm. And a 19-year-old can't just walk into a bank with limited credit, if any, and say, I want your bank to loan me some money to start these up. Because a lot of times, they'll say, too, you're 19.
Yeah.
How do we know that you know what you're doing?
Yeah. So
how did you capitalize?
So I definitely, especially on the front end, had people that helped me with that, for sure. And I had saved some money that I originally had intended to use for college, and then I ended up getting a scholarship. So it wasn't a ton of money. And, I mean, the world was different then. I mean, as I said, I don't think it would be possible to do the same thing we did in 2012 in 2025, because the amount of money that this required to get off the ground was not much. And if we were to do it now, it would be, you know, probably 2, 3, 4, 5 times what it required then. So.
But the fact that the Seattle Drips had closed in the exact locations that you had probably was a warning sign too, probably to some other people in your life saying, hey, this is a big company. They just closed down. Why do you think you could do better?
Yeah, it was a hard time in general. I mean, there was, there were a lot of people that looked at it, that looked at the business, and even when I did decide to do it, I mean, again, I had help with a lot of that whenever we were first starting out, for sure, on the financing side. But when we started, there were a lot of people that were like, are you sure you want to do that? You know, are you sure that, you know, and I had worked there, so I had seen, it was just a different time. I mean, the economy wasn't like amazing in 2012. Things were really slowly moving, you know, forward. And there just wasn't a lot of other coffee in Hattiesburg. So I felt like there were things that I remembered from when I was working there that I thought we could do better, especially on the marketing side, which was, I think, kind of the thing that we did the best at the time because I was so young. I had just graduated from high school a year prior at Oak Grove. So I knew, you know, I was very involved in the community. And, you know, obviously still am, but at that time it had some novelty to it. Like, oh, let's go to Kent's Coffee Shop. You know, all my teachers, that most of which have retired, were, you know, thrilled to come from the high school to get some coffee at Java Mo's. A lot of my friends were still in high school at the time. So, you know, they thought it was cool to come. So that really, like I said, it was kind of the perfect storm of things that just made it work. And I think having a really good product too helped as well. I mean, we've always been very proud of our coffee and just the work we put into making sure the coffee's good and consistent, and that the service is also good. We get a lot of reviews and stuff, and there's one that we got a few years back that I've always loved, and I've wanted to put on a t-shirt. It was just, they're the Chick-fil-A of coffee. And that, to me, I mean, we all know Chick-fil-A is you know, known for their service. So for us to be lumped in with that, it's always been something that we've tried to be consistent about, just to, you know, to keep the customers coming in.
So Kent, you made it through the pandemic. How was that?
It was interesting. We'll put it like that. We were fortunate, just the nature of being drive-through, with our two main locations being drive-through. We actually saw our numbers there increase at both of the drive-throughs quite a bit. Obviously, the hospitals were not the same situation at those locations. They saw a pretty big drop-off that took several years for us to get that back. And then the Poplarville location we opened actually during COVID. So we had started opening it in 2019, and then COVID came along and we had to kind of put it on pause. But that summer, when everything was kind of, you know, up in the air, trying to figure out if we were going to be open or not, or, you know, how we were going to play it, we decided to open and just do drive through for a little bit. And then we were able to open the inside. That the one in Poplarville has a inside cafe space too, so it's our biggest location. But yeah, it was tough. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it was very tough. There were times when I was like, I don't know that we're gonna survive this. But we did, and we're better off for it, I guess.
And you've got all the Mississippi locations, and then there's one little outlier. It's all the way up there in St. Louis, Missouri,
yeah.
Or Missouri.
Yeah.
I thought you were referring to Bay St. Louis.
No.
No.
Yeah, most people do. That would be the logical jump.
No, wow. St. Louis, Missouri. So
yeah.
How did that happen?
That is a fun story. I was up in St. Louis just visiting some friends, and discovered this coffee shop that was for sale, and I wasn't looking to buy a coffee shop in St. Louis. That wasn't ever something I thought I would do, but I happened to go visit it, learned that it was, knew that it was for sale, went and visited. They had a item on the menu called the Kent sandwich, and I thought, okay, well, this is a sign.
Hey, God.
It must be right. I get it. I hear you. I'm starting to think there might have been some interference on that signal, because I don't think that was the message.
Bad cell signal.
That was not the takeaway that I should have done. But it's been that has been a very interesting process, and very challenging, but very, rewarding as well.
Kent McCarty, the founder of Java Mo's, with us on Shop Local Mississippi. We're going to talk about how he came up with the name and the relationship with the local communities that they serve when our show continues in just a moment.
This is Shop Local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3.
Welcome back to Shop Local Mississippi, shoplocalmississippi.org. Reach us on Facebook at Shop Local Mississippi, or send us an email if you'd like to be a guest on our show. We would love to help you promote your Mississippi business. That email address is shoplocalms@yahoo.com. We are back for the second segment with Mr. Kent McCarty, owner of the Java Mo's, many locations in Mississippi and one in St. Louis. He started at age 19 with a love for coffee, and we are so happy to have you on the show today. Earlier in the show, we were talking about how all of this kind of evolved. Tell us how you came up with the name Java Mo's.
So much like the Java Mo's business origin story, the name origin story is kind of basic too. I had just like toiled over this for weeks. Like, what are we going to name it? Internally, like, I just could not think of anything. I had all these names written down. None of them were good. And my dad, actually, we were sitting down. I was talking to him, and he's a partner in the business and was with me from the beginning. He said, I was thinking, why don't we do it Java Mo's? And I was like, okay, I like that. And he was like, yeah, like Java, like coffee. And Mo is like, my dad's name is Morgan. It's like short for Morgan. And I was like, let's do it. That sounds great. So then that was it. He said, are you sure? I said, yeah, that sounds great. And that was what we went with. We were working with a firm in town to do the branding and everything. And we came back to our next meeting, and we had gone back and forth with them about what name to choose. And they knew that I was probably going to take an eternity to make a decision. And we came back and we said, here's the name. And they said, okay, great. So
it's always best to be first rather than best. And really, when it comes to coffee, I think that the Java Mo's really was the first in the Hattiesburg area, which certainly is part of the success. But as you've mentioned now, there seems to be, like churches, a coffee shop on about every corner, but yet you continue to open locations. Kent, normally logic would dictate, okay, we're going to back off a little bit because there's a coffee shop on every corner. Tell us the thought process of actually adding more.
Yeah, so we're looking, expansion plan, for lack of a better, that sounds a lot more official than it probably is, but when we look at all the growth in coffee that's happening and all these new brands that are moving in from out of state that are in, other parts of the country that are moving to this area, they're targeting markets like Hattiesburg, Laurel, places like that are a little bit on the bigger side. Not that, we're huge, but as far as a town in Mississippi, we're a good sized town. So they're targeting these size markets. What we're looking at is, where can we go that isn't saturated, that probably doesn't have as high of a risk of another brand moving in with two locations at once, like you're seeing in Hattiesburg right now. And that's how we stumbled upon Purvis and Columbia. Not that both don't already have some coffee exposure already, but they don't have, a coffee shop on every corner like we're getting to in Hattiesburg. So we kind of feel like that moving forward might be our best you know, way to find markets that aren't super saturated and aren't going to be super saturated is to these, some of these smaller communities. And we've really, like with our location in Poplarville, that was our first in an area like that. And we've really been very well received by the community. And I've been very surprised, pleasantly surprised at the level of business we've been able to maintain in a town like Poplarville that's not huge. Obviously, you've got the college right there, but
yeah, and all they have to do literally is walk across the street, so that helps.
That helps a lot, yeah. And so finding places that are high traffic but not, you know, loaded with coffee is always good. And I mean, even in Hattiesburg, where there's so many, we've done well competing with everybody. I mean, like I said, it helps that we were here first, and not that we were the first place to ever do coffee, but when Seattle Drip closed, there was nothing on this end of town. I mean, there was a Starbucks down in Midtown. And really nothing else. At that point, the Starbucks that was across from Target had already closed. So there really wasn't any other option. So us being here so long and being here so consistently for the last 13 years, I think has really helped us kind of stand out.
So Kent, you opened this when you were 19. You have obviously watched kids grow up, whether they've been your customers or your employees. Mm-hmm. How many Mississippians do you employ today?
We're all actually on the low end of our headcount for the last few years, but it's about 60 right now. We typically are a little more comfortable around like 70, 80, but hiring has been really tough. Real quick to that point, I just think it's really interesting that you said that. We've had so many customers that I've actually watched, or customers turn employees that I've watched from like being, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, watched them in the drive-thru window, like with their parents. They grow up, they eventually, you know, 10 years down the road are looking for a job. And we've actually been able to employ several of those. And it's just so interesting to watch, like, you know, you see somebody just through the drive-through window every day for 6, 7 years. And then all of a sudden, you know, they were 10, now they're 17 looking for a job. And it's like, sure, yeah, come work at Java Mo's. And some of those people have been some of our best employees. And it's just, that's been really rewarding, I guess, to watch just the evolution from customer to employee. And then now, you know,
they're back to customer. Well,
they're out of school, not working for me. Kids. They're professionals, having kids. It's really, you know, makes me feel like I've been doing this for 100 years because I've almost watched people live out a whole, like, you know, growth of life, you know, from child to adult to parent. It's just really, it's really crazy.
With the way that this has started from the ground up in Mississippi, there seems to be that local responsibility as well. I know that if you're out seeing kids play travel ball or in the youth baseball leagues or softball or what have you, there's invariably a Java Mo's reference at some point. So obviously the connection that you guys have with the community is by design. Mm-hmm. And I want you to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we've always tried to plug ourselves into whatever we can in the community. Anytime there's any kind of an event that we can sponsor or, you know, whether it's just providing coffee for something or, you know, sponsoring like a doing a sign at an event or like, you know, the Oak Grove football, we've got the, the Java Mo's first down, you know, on the live stream of the Oak Grove football. So things like that. We always try to say yes to that, whatever we can do. And obviously, as things have gotten, you know, harder the last few years with more competition and just the prices of everything going up so much, we've had to be a little bit more thoughtful with that. But we do try to always plug in somewhere. And we always, you know, obviously just in the hiring, I mean, just in the nature of having so many employees, we do pull those obviously from the community. So that keeps us kind of grounded here, you know, in Hattiesburg. And really just, you know, this is such a great city and just so many great people. It's really makes it so easy to just stay involved because there's so many good opportunities to do that here.
One of the ways that businesses have to evolve in order to stay in business is to change the menu, switch things up, make things a little bit different, mm-hmm. leave them wanting more, as P.T. Barnum used to say. So tell us about how you go. I mean, but with coffee, can you be as extensive as like a regular restaurant and changing things up? How do you decide
so,
all that?
Yeah, so we really, for the last, I don't even know how long, 8 years or so have done a different drink every week. And you know, when we first did it, I didn't know that people would really take to it, that we'd have it. And, you know, we do it for $1 off every week and it's something new every week. Excuse me. I didn't think that people would, you know, I'm a creature of habit. I drink the same thing every day, but a lot of people are not. So I was so surprised at how people really that took off. And now, you know, 8 years later, we're still doing a different drink every week and people just pull up now. And, you know, I work in the coffee shops a lot and I'll open the window and, you know, they'll just say, whatever the drink of the week is, I'll take that. Which, I mean, again, I could never do that. That just, like, sends a shiver down my spine, just, like, even thinking about it.
Because you're a control freak, right?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And I want my black coffee just like I want it every day.
I'm raising both hands. I'm one of those people that want the flavor of the week. I think, and I get so excited to see what the surprise is.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. There are so many people that do that. I mean, and it doesn't matter what the flavor is. It could be, like, the craziest sounding thing ever. And people are like, yeah, I'll try it. You know, it's $1 off. I'll try it.
I'm going to buy it.
And it's usually, like, holiday themed, right?
Right. We try to keep it relevant. So like in the fall, obviously they're all kind of more fall drinks. The whole month of October, this month we're doing like spooky drinks. So a lot of them are drinks we have all year. We just rebrand them, you know, for spooky season. So that's always really popular too.
Now, Melissa and her husband obviously have extensive businesses across the state. You do as well, but you have a unique perspective in that you are in the state legislature. You're in the middle of your second term representing District 101. Again, probably the youngest person to ever represent that area, or if not, certainly closest. How would you describe the work environment between the government and businesses in Mississippi? What would be your elevator speech to anybody else that might want to open a business in Mississippi?
Yeah, you know, having done business in other states, I can tell you Mississippi is one of the easiest to do business in. I mean, we make it very easy, or try to at least. And I would say this, you know, even if I wasn't in the state legislature, I certainly have plenty of gripes I could air about that. So don't think that I'm just, you know, being biased, but just from a business owner perspective, it is a very business-friendly state. It's very easy to get something off the ground from start to finish in a pretty short amount of time. And, you know, getting a business license here and having all the permitting, all that stuff is just so much easier than I've experienced it in other states. And so I'm very thankful, obviously, as a business owner that that's the case. But also, you know, as a legislator, it's nice that we make it easy for our constituents to do if they want to start a new business. You know, it's not going to cost them an arm and a leg and make them hire a whole team to do it. They can do it themselves.
And I will say that's great news for the state, but some cities, and we're not going to mention names, but there are some cities that can make business pretty difficult to get going, but that's a whole different set of problems.
I think the music has saved me from that one, but yeah, you're not wrong about that.
Okay. Well, Kent, we wish you continued success. The fact that you rolled the dice at age 19, hey, without risk, you can't have that big of a reward, right? And
right.
Nothing but continued success. Kent McCarty of Java Mows, with all their locations across the state of Mississippi and the poor little one up in St. Louis, Missouri. We'll be back with more of Shop Local Mississippi in just a moment.
You're tuned in to Shop Local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3.
Shop Local Mississippi, shoplocalmississippi.org. We'd love to have you on the show. Send us an email at shoplocalms@yahoo.com. Find us on Facebook at simply Shop Local Mississippi. Today we have CJ with Mag Millionaire Athletic Sports Management. That is a mouthful. We cannot wait to hear what that is all about, CJ. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the business and what all you do.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're good. Thank you.
Hey, so my name is CJ Bailey. I am originally from the Gulf Coast of Mississippi and had the great privilege of playing football at the University of Southern Mississippi. And play defensive back. And
nice.
After 4 years at Southern Miss, I had a privilege of going to play professional football in Canada. Played for the Edmonton Eskimos. And after coming home from playing in Canada, I wanted to give back to my community. So I started training athletes and doing things that I felt like we was missing in the state. And so in 2011, I started training athletes, and ever since then, and from training and managing athletes, I put over about 500 kids in college.
How about that?
And so when the NIL era came, which is called name, image, and likeness,
sure,
became available to the athletes, I found a place and area for us to kind of start monetizing off the things we've been able to do for free for so long.
Right.
So that you started with the training. The training is what the athletes and the families were paying for. And the additional part of the training was just assisting them on getting to college. And so through that time, we built great relationships with multiple college coaches all across the country, all the way out to California, to New Mexico, to Syracuse. I mean, I almost carried the whole United States of America. And so I decided to start a company called MAG, Millionaire Athletic Group. And the MAG originally started for Magnolia because we're in the state of Magnolia. And also my family base is out of Louisiana as well, too, which a lot of people don't know. Magnolia is the flower for both states, for Mississippi and Louisiana. But Mr. Jory, who's also a partner in this company, Jory Scott, made the suggestion that, you know, be global. You know, and we kind of bumped heads about it, you know, at first, to be honest with you guys. And I was being, you know, hard because I'm like, I want it this way, I want it that way. But I had to sit back and as successful as Mr. Jory and his family is in business, I had to sit back and take a back seat and listen what he was saying. And so, and he was right. So we came up with the name of Millionaire Athletic Group. And the reason why we chose that name was because the goal was to help these athletes to, you know, get to that. Everybody wants to be that millionaire chase, you know, so help those athletes get to that place to where they have an opportunity to reach that goal.
And it used to be, CJ, where it was only, you could only do that in the pros, but yes. now you've got college athletes, the quarterback at Texas, Arch Manning. We're not going to argue, you know, how good he is, but the fact of the matter is he's got a $7 million NIL deal. So where this was normally just set aside for professional athletes, now what you guys do is to train primarily high school and college athletes to get to the point where they can get that deal from whatever particular colleges might come along. And the management idea initially, when in a pre-production show, I thought, well, a management company, there's normally that, well, it's they're lawyers and they're agents and they're managing professional athletes. But in your situation, it's unique where it's not you're not really dealing with professional athletes as we knew them two or three years ago. But now high school, and there are high school kids. Look, the trickle down is happening to where high school kids are getting money as well, and that's what you guys are about. Is that kind of it in a nutshell?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That is it. And the cool part about the management side, we also look at these athletes, and we just don't look at the financial side of it. And that's kind of the blessing part of being able to work with Mr. Jory and his company is that we're not chasing, you know, the craziest dollar amount. We're actually chasing the best fit for the athlete to board in order for the athlete to be successful. And sometimes the monetized side is not the perfect fit. You know,
right.
There's a young man that went to the University of Oregon for over $500,000 and is now entering the portal because he's not playing, you know, but he chased the program that offered him the most amount of money. And to me, I felt like he was mismanaged in that position.
And it's not. And as far as managing this goes, too, we can't forget the academic part of it, because regardless of how talented you are, you got to be able to crack the books. And I imagine that's all part of it as well. Your company.
Yes. So on the academic side, we always look into that's the kind of the initial meeting is to want to see where the athletes are at academically. And then I have a base rule on that. If we gotta talk, continue to talk academics, I mean, you're just not serious about what's available to you.
I cannot wait to go home and tell my boys that, because I try to tell them that every day, is that academics are, what percentage of it, CJ, would you say?
Say that again.
Academics. What percentage of an athlete making it big, even just going to a college and playing ball, what percentage is academic related?
It's 100.
Thank you.
Yeah, because if
you straight from the horse's mouth.
Well, no, if you can't make the grade, CJ, we have nothing else to talk about.
That's right.
It's nothing to talk about. And the rule of thumb I use for my athletes is academics is like getting in the morning and brushing your teeth. Academics is like putting your shoes on to walk outside.
Should be
like,
a given. Should be instinct.
It should be instinct. Should be natural. Right. It should be understood that I sit in the front of class, I lock in, I pay attention to details, because I know in order to get everything else I want out of this, I can't achieve that without surpassing through academics. And so that's why they call it student athlete, not athlete student.
CJ Bailey is with us on the Shop Local Mississippi program here with us. And CJ, you guys also have a kind of as part of the business as well as a drink that you guys have formulated or are marketing to different athletes. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
Tell us about that.
So Miss Chrissy Scott, actually the one who owns the drink called Game On by Canoe. And I actually, you take the drink itself. Myself is the energy drink mix. And what we do, we actually have a NIL deal with Canoe and Chrissy to send all of our athletes during the season and before the season to help them get through the weekly schedule of being, a student athlete on a high-end collegiate level. And I actually last night had a talk with the defensive back coach at University of Memphis, and he told me their athletes at the field house 12 hours of the day. And wow. So we send our athletes Game On to keep them up, keep them energetic, to keep them focused. And so this drink is a really good, it's actually a shake, but you mix it with water or Gatorade. I mix mine with Gatorade, but it actually keeps the kids focused and prepared for the day.
At what age do you start talking to a kid or looking at a kid?
That's a great question. So it's a hit or miss, sometimes, we can start at the age of between 14 to 15, and then sometimes it'd be a junior college athlete that we see fit, that we can foresee his future and that nobody else see. But I'm big on, getting to the athletes before they blow up, because I like to kind of earn that comfort with the family, and sometimes it bites me, because I become seen more as a family member than a business partner. But that's the only knock on getting to them so early is like their relationship has become so good and strong
right. That
it lacks the business, because it's like, oh, he's going to help me anyway. And they're right. Like, we get so close with them and we're so personable, it becomes to the point where, they say, well, we want to do business with this company because of these reasons, but we want to keep the relationship with you for
right. Consultation
purposes, just because without you, we wouldn't be here.
Right. And you've invested that time and energy, where you could have been helping a kid that's going to, stay with you. I think it's
yes. Wonderful,
CJ, that y'all look out for the best interest of these kids as a whole. And, with the Game On, it sounds like, and I know most athletes and their families, they would be getting products to put in their bodies from mm-hmm. Elsewhere. And this way you can kind of keep a hand and know, what they're putting into their body. And, again, looking out for their best interest.
Yes, that is correct.
CJ, it looks like most of what you deal with, and actually – I have talked to you on the phone before. It's been years ago when my son was a high school athlete, and you wanted him to play in an all-star football game that you were putting together down on the coast. So that goes back a few years. But it looks like most of the guys, that was you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it probably was. Yeah. If it was the coast and it was the all-star.
Yeah.
Most likely.
here we go with the reunion.
Yeah, but mostly you deal with football. Mm-hmm. Athletes, but are you limited to just football?
No, I'm not.
That's a good question.
That is a great question. So no, we are not limited to just football. Like, we want to work with baseball players, we want to work with basketball. But at the same time, it is our goal to put the athlete in the best position to be successful. So sometimes that leads us to push this athlete to work with other companies, to work with other people. But we still have that hands-on relationship to where we still manage the athlete, but we still work with another company, like a Matt Paul out of Matt Paul, who's a baseball agent out the Gulf Coast, who I normally work with a lot of my baseball guys, and we kind of coincide together. And then we also use with our basketball guys that we do come in touch with, Devin Booker's dad, Melvin Booker, who's an agent now.
Yeah, Devin's done okay.
Yeah, right.
Hey, we're going to take hang on. Hey, if you'll hold that thought, CJ, we're going to take a commercial break and come back and talk with CJ Bailey from Millionaire Mag here on Shop Local Mississippi when we return in a moment.
This is Shop Local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3.
Continuing our discussion with CJ Bailey from Millionaire Athletic Group. CJ, I want you to react to something I've heard coaches north of the Mason-Dixon line say. Because I've done television and radio sports for 40 years, and I'll look at their roster and I'll say, no kids from the Deep South. You got a football team here, pretty good football, but no kids from the Deep South. Why not? And here's what they say, CJ, almost all the time. They'll say, it's not that we're not interested in kids from the Deep South. We just find that they don't like going too far away from home. And if we sign them, we've got a scholarship wrapped up in them, and we don't want them to come up here for 3 or 4 months, get homesick, and then go back to Mississippi. So I guess there's something to be said for our way of living down here where kids don't want to go too far away.
Well, how can I say this?
Do you agree with that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't agree with it. And the reason why I don't is now you do have some home based athletes that's in the certain areas in the state of Mississippi, or even in the state of Alabama or whatever, or Louisiana, that's just in love with their current situation and the way they're raised, they're comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
But in this new era, these new, you know, the way these athletes and these young men and women are looking at life, and like they have fully watched family members, family friends make those mistakes and never leave their community. And so I've had the privilege of having 7 number one players in the country. And during the time that I'm helping those kids go through their process of getting to that elite level of rankings and grabbing these writers and certain people respect is I don't allow none of those athletes to put, you know, their top schools in the state of Mississippi. And the goal is to become a national recruit. And a lot of times the state of Mississippi, especially, and I can only speak on my experience, a lot of these top, like the Ole Miss and Mississippi State, I kind of burn bridges there because of those reasons, because a lot of my top 7 guys do not stay in the state of Mississippi, and they go on and they become successful. It's totally different place nowadays to where, you know, these kids are kind of more open to going in other places, but it's also about, you know, their recruiting process and how that school and those coaches are very involved with the process. If your head coach is not involved with the recruiting process, that's a problem for these athletes, you know, being from this area, just because we are the state of Southern hospitality. So you can't expect a kid to go visit a school in New York or Boston College or whatever, and you don't communicate with them as well or talk to them when you walk past them in the hallway. You know, yeah, he's going to want to go home because he's used to feeling that love and experience, you know. So it's, to me, I think it's all about that that making it personable in the relationship with the position coach.
So if you, so if a set of parents or whoever has a youngster that they think might fit your business model at Millionaire Athletic Group, is it a situation where they come to you or you go to them? Or how is that initial connection made?
That's a good question.
I like to say, let me find you. You know, we all are God-fearing, and it's a God-fearing company, and I'm a big believer in God. I know Mr. Joy, Ms. Creasy is too as well. So I put all my faith into him, and then I allow him to send me the correct families to assist and help. So a lot of times when you kind of push the envelope and try to work with everybody and try to do this and do that and gravitate towards whoever's hot or you have people calling you, you kind of find yourself in an overload spot, and then you can't fulfill a duty that people are being asked of you. And so to me, I think that waters down your brand and it hurts you in the long run. So I like to keep it very personable and keep it kind of voluntary on who I personally deal with and who the company personally deals with.
So, CJ, for all of the, you know, parents of young athletes coming up in Mississippi, what do you look at? What do you watch? Do you, you know, stats, you know, these game organization groups that claim that you go to an ID camp and they're going to put your information, you know, in this database that scouts look at and all this. What's your take on that, and what do you look at? What's the truth behind that? Because there's a lot of things out there that just really mislead parents, you know.
Well, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked on the things I look at, actually, and that's a really good question as well. So the things I look at, truthfully, is character. I'm a big body language guy, and I watch how you jog on the field, jog off the field. I watch how you communicate with your coach, communicate with your parents. You know, I watch the smallest intangibles, just because, like, let's be honest, like in this today, and where we at today, there's so many good athletes out there. Like, what's going to separate you from the next? And so I think character is the most important thing in everything that you do, because you can work to get faster. You can work to be stronger. You know, there's a lot of big athletes here. You can be really big, but if you have character flaws, you're not going to be successful in this business. No way.
All right. CJ Bailey, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, CJ
Bailey with Millionaire Athletic Group. And that'll do it for another installment of Shop Local Mississippi. We'll see you back here again next Tuesday. Same bat time. Same bat channel. Thanks, everybody. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.